When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ariel. All of us here at the Fumbling Forward Network take mental health very serious. If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide, please reach out to the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 988. The 988 Lifeline provides 24/7 free and confidential support for anyone in need. And if you don't like talking on the phone, you can text or start an online chat. Like I said, it's available 24/7 and it is free and confidential. The number again is 988. And remember, you're not alone and help is available.
Welcome to the Resident Evil Lorecast, the podcast that will explore the various mediums and lore of the Resident Evil franchise, such as the video games, movies, novels, and more. And here are your hosts, Ariel, Daniel, and Aaron. Got something that might interest you. Well, welcome back to the Resident Evil Lorecast. I'm your host, Aaron, and joining me, as always, is my fellow hosts, Ariel.
Hello.
And Daniel.
Bye there.
Okay. So today we're talking about Chambers, the movie, the fan-made movie that's available on YouTube.
By Carcass Studios.
By Carcass Studios. It currently has over 3,000 views.
But before we get started on the Chambers movie slash series, they made it into a movie, like they put all the episodes together, but so it was brought up in the Legend of Zelda patron chat or patron no it was just Robots Radio, wasn't it? Discord.
Yeah.
Okay. That I need to do the rated R interpretation of Aaron because I can't do that on LZ because it's PG.
Oh God, let's hear it.
So here I am on the not PG show giving my interpretation of Aaron.
Oh God.
And it is Mr. Clean on meth.
Why am I on meth? Why am I on meth?
I can be mean, but I don't want to be too mean.
Why am I on meth? Because am I missing a tooth? Because am I missing tooth?
Yeah. And you're everywhere, like talking and mind wise. And yeah. So, Mr. Clean on meth.
Because I'm missing a tooth and I have ADHD. I'm Mr. Clean on meth.
And mostly bald. I guess that's where the Mr. Clean
part comes. Clean part comes in. I can't help that I didn't develop this one tooth.
Never said, it's my interpretation.
Anyway. Well, it says something about you because you love Mr. Clean on meth. Anyway. With your hurtful interpretation out of the way. So, the Chambers movie. I don't have anything to say.
Well, then let me get into plot. So, okay. It's not a very long plot, so just bear with me here. So it starts out July 23rd, 1998 in the Arklay Mountains. And the funny thing is that's when Zero takes place. So, anyways, it's Rebecca goes into the Spencer Mansion. And she starts going through, you know, finding the zombies, shooting them. And then it cuts into her, like, talking to somebody we don't know at this point. relaying information. And it's like a Rebecca in the future, because now all of a sudden she has long hair and a ponytail. But it goes back to the, you know, normal Rebecca with the short hair. And any, so she's going through the mansion. And like randomly runs into, I tried to catch his name. We all tried to catch his name and I couldn't quite catch it.
He was either Matt or Max.
Something. We'll call him M. So he runs, she runs into this guy named M. And they're like, she's telling him basically that Umbrella is the one that's behind all of this. And he's like, oh, Umbrella, the one that we've loved and trusted for our whole lives. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, oh, if we can't trust them, how do I know to trust you? How do I know you're not the bad guy? And then she goes like all bitch mode and was like, if I wanted to kill you, I would have done so for wasting my time. All dramatic like, and then the turn and storm off. So he's like, oh, she's got a good point. He didn't say that, but the look on his face said it. So anyway, so they go back through. She tells them that they need to split up now because all of a sudden, bam, the Red Queen shows up and was like, y'all gonna fucking die down here. You know, she said other words, but that was the gist of it. Welcome to the House of Hell, basically. And so Rebecca's like, oh, we need to split up, gang. So those two split up. Then she's going through like finding papers and like experiment paperwork and stuff. And she founds a paper of like with all the STARS members' names on it. And then she gets attacked. Then it cuts to our boy M. He gets to this lab. He finds vials and stuff. Takes this little suitcase, puts some in, gets bit by a scientist, I'm assuming, then decides to inject himself with something red.
Yeah, wasn't sure what that was.
Yeah, so then it cuts back to Rebecca, him coming up to her and was like, ooh, I feel it in my nerves. She notices the injection site and was like, what have you done? I feel good. And then she shoots him in the eye. So then like it keeps cutting in and out in between this with her talking to somebody. And like the future Rebecca talking to somebody. It doesn't show who she's talking to. And then it goes to like 9 years later, talking about how, well, in one of the flashbacks, she was talking about going to Caliban Cove. Nice little reference there. Then it was talking about Officer Leon Kennedy and her in the search for Project Alice. So that was kind of cool. So then it like, you know, goes to this 9 year later thing. And she runs into Sheva, which was, I thought was pretty cool. They start, you know, attacking each other until they realize, oh, like we're both the good guys. Because Rebecca's like, who do you work for? And Sheva was like, who do you work for? STARS. Oh, I know Chris. How do you know Chris? We were BFFs. She didn't really say that, but that's basically how it went. So then she was like, I worked with Chris in Africa and blah, 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 Sheva was. And so they were chit-chatting. And then it cuts to So was it like a umbrella operatives?
Mm. Oh yeah, they all could they storm because a helicopter shows up.
Yeah, then a helicopter shows up. You have these assuming umbrella operatives coming in, and both Rebecca and Sheva are like, all right, let's be badass bitches here and let's kill them all. And then it ends. That's basically the plot of the Chambers.
I'm just clapping for the ending.
Clap like an airplane.
That's the plot. So I guess I'll like list characters. There's not that many. So like there's Rebecca Chambers. There's Sheva. There's our boy M. Red Queen. That's basically, those are our characters. You got zombies. But those aren't characters. Those are more BOWs, and that's more Daniel's thing, so.
That's like the unnamed victim.
Unnamed victim.
I believe that's how she is in the title, or in the credits.
Unnamed victim. Yeah. Like she, like Rebecca mentions Billy and Leon and Alice, but you don't see them, so. Yep, those are my characters. Daniel with the BOWs.
Just stabbed everybody.
Oh, God.
And I don't even care about that. BOWs. So we have our zombies or cannibals or zeros, depends on which iteration of Resident Evil we go with. Apparently weak to the head, are weak to taking shots in the head. Firearms. Apparently their necks are easy to break.
They've it's always been easy to break.
Happens multiple times. And
sometimes they just die because I'll hold off.
That's called budgeting. But yes, they are weak to gunfire to the head. Body shots don't do much other than potentially slow them down. Lickers, easy to kill by shooting them in the brain, which seems to be normal because their brain is exposed. Though usually it's heart attacks in any of the other games. Don't get to see much of what they can do, the lickers, other than creepily hang over somebody and lick their face. Because instead of killing their victim, toy with the victim. At least one licker does. The other ones, I don't know. But yeah, they have vicious claws, as you can tell, can move pretty fast, but don't know the extent of these lickers' abilities. And I believe they see in some type of heat vision, or I'm not sure how it was implied, because it almost looked like infrared.
It would be...
But it could be like the night vision version, and that's just how it's portrayed in the film.
Infrared is heat seeking, like a heat sight. So this would be more like red lens. Like they're able to see in red lens.
So they're colorblind except for in red, basically.
It's a filter for light, meaning that they can see. They need minimal light to see. So it's kind of like dark vision in D&D kind of thing.
They were legitimate in their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Or closer abilities. But I don't have too much on that. We don't know if RM or Max Matt was going to be a G-virus oriented entity or not.
He was going to be the Boba virus.
Get out of here. So we don't have any other BOWs that have been seen. But that doesn't mean there weren't more in there planned.
I think it was implied that the Cerberus was like one of the first ones. I don't know. Something came running out from under the truck in like one of the very first scenes.
Liar. But that's what I have on the BOWs.
Well, if anybody has anything else, I think we should go to a mid-break, and when we come back, we'll discuss and give ratings on this. Well, here we are in the middle of the episode. Yeah. So what do we do first?
Laugh at Daniel.
Nope.
We thank our patrons.
That's right. We have to thank our patrons, such as our VIP patrons, Banana the Bard, a.k.a. Banana Gun Bard Walker.
A.k.a.
Bird's Eye View Entertainment, The Dog 47, Glenn Meeks, Jay Zoobs, Jeremy Kelly, Lord Salazar, Naked Mango, Sailor Neglace, The Compound, Wade Wilson, and of course our All Access patrons, such as Awkward Khajiit, Chris Slate, Remington Cloutier, and of course our official patrons, Quattro Hawkes, Paul Murphy, Ryan Black, and some random guy. So thank you, patrons.
Yes, thank you, patrons. We greatly appreciate it. And thank you, listeners, because without you, we wouldn't have a show where we're on episode 101.
101. I also want to say, I also appreciate the listeners, but it was brought to my attention in a fan review recently that Ariel is the champion of the listeners because she's the only one who ever thanks them.
Fuck yeah.
We appreciate everybody who participates in this in any way, shape, or form.
I want to read that.
Oh, you will. It's in The Legend of Zelda.
I'm just not good with compliments.
It's Daniel.
It's Daniel. So, speaking of which, Danny boy, what'd you bring for today's episode?
Well, in keeping up with Rebecca, if anybody ever wanted to carry Rebecca on their belt, they can.
Oh, I bet you do.
In the form of a keychain.
Oh, God.
It's a little big to carry normally on a belt. But in keychain form, you can get a Resident Evil Rebecca Chambers color-changing LED premium crystal laser-engraved 2D picture. There's more to that title, but I am not going to make that sentence even longer. But if you would like that on Etsy, they have it. It runs $17.99 for the normal option. If you want the extra battery, it costs $2 more. And it is made by Kokoto Village. And they have many different colors. The picture that they show is of a greenish color, and they also have a red. And a lot of the reviews are pretty good for this. It ships usually within a couple of days, it looks like, because if I'm looking at it currently, it shows March 16th to 27th, so that is only a week away for us. And cost of ship is $3.96, so it sounds like it will come standard post office. But if you want to get a keychain that you carry on your side, thinking that you actually have the luck of Rebecca on your side, you can have that for $17.99. plus shipping from Kokoto Village on Etsy.
Are you buying one?
Me? I don't have $17.99 to...
Oh, jeez.
At this moment.
Got enough for that Minecraft server, though.
That's monthly.
So, Ariel, what'd you bring?
Well, I read an article.
Ooh.
Much like I always do. And this one comes from Screen Rant, and the title is Quiet Steam Update May Have Just Revealed What Capcom's Next Resident Evil Remake Is.
I'm listening. Thank you, Steam, for ousting everyone all the time.
A recent Steam update to a classic Resident Evil title may have confirmed which of the franchise's games Capcom is planning on remaking next. As fans eagerly await news on Capcom's next Resident Evil remake, a recent update to one of the older games on Steam may have shed some light as to what players can expect. Resident Evil is known as one of the most iconic video game series of all time, spawning all kinds of spin-offs and adaptations across comics, novels, movies, and streaming series. So, per pre Alara Baia on X, it would appear that, based on a recent Steam update, Resident Evil 5 is the next game in line to be remade for modern audiences. The game's listing on SteamDB has recently been changed on several occasions, with one alteration tweaking its title to Resident Evil 5 2009. A naming convention could be used to help the first game stand apart from a potential remake.
You're welcome, Aaron.
Capcom did the same thing with the Resident Evil 4 remake. With the whole Resident Evil 4, you know, and then put the year. So this pre-Alara Baia also points out that it's strange that Capcom would update such an old Resident Evil game out of the blue, suggesting that it's planning for some kind of announcement in the near future. So there we go. That's that. I love Resident Evil 5. It is a great game. I am upset if that's the next remake, because there are older titles that should be remade first, in my opinion.
I agree.
Dino Crisis.
Not Resident Evil.
Still Capcom.
I don't... Here's the thing, though. We don't know that he's the next one. We do know Resident Evil 5 is definitely on the list of games to be remade, but we don't know if that's the next one.
No, but I have a suspicion that it might, because maybe they're going through the numbered titles first. Maybe.
Yeah, I just hope that's not the case.
It might also be easiest to move those assets to a newer engine than like the older stuff, depending, since it's closer in the engine, I would assume, in engine wise.
I would allow that argument if Resident Evil 2 and 3 were remade first.
Well, yeah, but they will probably want to test the waters with remakes.
Yeah, and they tested it and it's successful, so now remake the thing that everybody wants.
Yeah, but then they could have waited on 4 as well.
Everybody wanted 4.
And I want 5, so...
You're standalone on this one.
Well, I would love a remake of 5, even though it's in a newer engine and everything else. I would just like it after some others are remade.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't want an RE5 remake. It's just that I would like others before the RE5 remake, that's all.
RE7 remake.
Okay.
Make the game better.
Okay. I'm on board.
Here's what I'll say. This is why I'm off put. Resident Evil 5 was not made terribly too long ago. Okay.
It's two consoles back.
Yeah. And it's been updated and brought to the newest consoles multiple times. Yes, you can make the same argument with Resident Evil 4, but Resident Evil 4 was made in what? 2006, 2007?
That's three consoles back. That's farther back.
Yeah, exactly. So that one, okay. Code Veronica is what, six consoles back?
No, it'd be 4. Because if you go by Resident Evil 4 was PS2 time, Code Veronica was PS1 time, so it'd be one console past that. So,
So I mean, either way, it's older.
Well,
Dawn of Crisis.
I mean, you have Code Veronica, you have The Outbreaks.
Yeah.
You have Darkseid Chronicles. Like, there's so many other games that I feel, in my opinion, should be remade first. It's just my opinion.
I feel like this could be a whole episode. Well, are you ready to hear what I brought?
No.
Okay, well, you're going to hear it anyway. So this is specifically for Daniel. Since it's a Rebecca episode, I brought a Rebecca item. So on Etsy from Exodus Studios, you can get your hands on a Rebecca from Resident Evil Z. a Rebecca from Resident Evil Zero custom pop vinyl figure. You can get your own custom vinyl pop.
Well, then I'll just put me on it.
So for the price of $38 even, Ariel.
Acceptable.
Before shipping.
You can get your own Funko Pop of Rebecca. Now, what I will say is this is a third-party Funko Pop. So, you know, it's not the Funko brand. But the reviews here speak for themselves. 93% 5 stars across the board. Everybody loves it. It's great. I will say there's only one left in stock as of recording of this episode. So I don't know if they're going to be making more. I can't imagine they wouldn't with the 2,209 reviews they have on just this one item.
They have Wesker.
Yeah, they do have a lot of other characters in the form of Funko Pop here as well. You can get Ethan, Chris, Wesker, Ada. They've got different versions of them too. So you can get like Resident Evil 3 Jill, and you can also get Resident Evil 5 Jill. So they've got different versions of each character. But it's a pretty cool store. Go check it out. And we'll have the link in the show notes below. And that's it for the mid-break, Ariel.
Yep.
Send us home.
We are home. I hate when you say that. Now, I just don't even want to discuss our sponsors because now I'm just...
home.
Done with Aaron.
Too bad you got to. I thought you loved our sponsors.
I'm just done with you. So, roll on over to FanRoll Dice. Use our promo code ALMIGHTYC10, which is ALMIGHTY, the letter C, and 10, and save 10% off their awesome fucking dice. Because I can say that word in this podcast. So, they have a whole bunch of different types of dice, like resin and metal and gemstone and rubber and their liquid core dice. They also have like different sizes. They got like the tiny dice or the gigantic dice. And they also have dice accessories like dice bags and dice towers and dice trays. All the things you need for your gaming experience. And I love their dice. Their dice are fucking awesome.
Well, don't forget, they just got a contract signed with Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you talk about it then?
They're going to come out with Wizards of the Coast accessory dice. So we're going to get the old school D&D 1E dice, and we're going to get dice towers themed first gen. We're going to get all kinds of D&D stuff.
Yeah, I already told Aaron he needs to buy me some. So. They are really cool looking. You'll definitely want to go check it out.
Sorry.
Scared Charlie.
You'll definitely want to go check it out. So save 10% off when you buy them by using our promo code. Then you can switch on over to Nixie Gaming. Use our promo code LZLore and save 10% off Switch accessories. So they have like docking stations and cables and cases, and they have controllers, and their new thing is the GameCube controllers, which are really cool. You can get a couple different colors. And yeah, you can save 10% off by using our promo code. Then you can zoom on over to W Energy. I forgot to clip Mango saying W Energy the other night.
Don't worry, I got you. W Energy.
No. And use our promo code FUMBLING4, which is fumbling and the number 4, and save 10% off their energy drinks. Now, they have the tubs of the powder, which is about 30 servings. And you get no crashes, no jitters. They have a whole bunch of hilariously named flavors. So you're bound to find one that you're going to fall in love with. So they have two different ones now. Merc Mayhem. And Enema elixir. I keep wanting to say enema. It's not an enema, listeners. It's really not. But yeah, those two new flavors, limited edition. Go check them out and save 10% off when you use our promo code. And this is not a sponsor, but I always forget to bring this up. Go check out our Fumbling Four store. It's fumblingfour.com, fumblingfourstore.com, which the link is in the show notes. And go check out our merch. We have different designs from our different podcasts. And they have we have Resident Evil, some different designs for Resident Evil. And we have Legend of Zelda, and Warhammer is going to be added soon if it isn't already. And Call of Cthulhu, and then our Fumbling Four and Cyberpunk. We have a whole bunch of different designs in our stores. Go check it out. See if you fall in love with something. And yeah, there we go. We do not support enemas.
Just enema.
Well, I mean, unless you need an enema, then you probably should. But like enema energy drinks, that's a quick way to feel that.
Anyway, moving on to the end of the episode. Well, here we are at the end of the episode, ready to discuss Chambers, the movie.
So, I like the references they made, like Rebecca makes with like Caliban Cove and Project Alice. And Leon Kennedy, like it, I like how they incorporated even the non-canon stuff into it.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I mean, we're here now.
I know. Let me stipulate this with Daniel. You've seen some of Carcass Studios' newer stuff, right?
Just some of it.
Okay.
Not a lot.
Would you say they've gotten a lot better?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and this was 3 years ago, so I'd encourage Carcass Studios to remake this. I would say with the new technologies and stuff that they have at their disposal, I'd encourage them to remake this.
Well, I mean, yeah, you got to keep in mind it's fan made, so it's not like it's Hollywood budget. So
no,
I think they did a good job for what they had. And I liked the. What's the word I'm thinking of?
Special effects.
I like the special effects they had for, you know, a fan made film. I like the way the liquor looked, and
I have pluses and minuses both to this. And that's what I wanted to kind of caveat all this with, was I didn't enjoy it. But
you hate Rebecca then.
That's why I say Carcass Studios, please remake this, because I could enjoy it. It was a starter film. I understand that. I have to give them the credit where credit is due, because the special effects, phenomenal. For what they had.
So actually, it's older than three.
Is it older than 3 years?
Must have been when they put the movie together, because the official trailer is 7 years ago.
So, yeah, 7 years ago. And with the special effects they had in this for 7 years ago, pretty dang good. I'm impressed.
Some of their newer trailers are way higher quality.
That's why I say I encourage them to remake this. Back to Ariel's original point, though, of the, like, the little Easter eggs they kept on through. I enjoyed them to a point, because eventually it started to feel like they were just plugging Easter eggs in to make you feel like this was Resident Evil. Like, the laser grid to me had no place. There was no place for it there. And then it didn't even do anything. It was just there, and then it wasn't.
Plot armor. She had plot armor bounced right off.
It just, you know, the laser grid, it just... It felt like they were plugging as many Easter eggs as they could in to make you realize this was a Resident Evil film.
I mean, yeah. But I did like just the little nods there. I liked in the beginning when she was like, I think it was the first time she was talking to whoever, that she had mentioned Billy.
Yeah.
And yeah, the little like notes and stuff she found, the race, because, you know, in the games you find these little files and stuff, you find them all around, and I like that too.
See, those are, I was okay with the mention of Billy, you know, like the legitimate Easter eggs. Like, unless you're a Resident Evil fan, you're not going to know, you know, the notes being found, getting computer access, things like that.
Her going to sleep in the safe room.
Yep. I liked that. I enjoyed that. Just other things like the laser grid and the
she did say there was traps and we really didn't see any. So I think they had to put a trap in there and the laser grid was easiest to put in because some of them are more practical effects. So you'd have to be like, oh, we're going to make a pit drop. Well, now we got to make it look like there's a pit here. Or
they could have done the ceiling drop piece of cardboard with some spikes on it. Done. Ceiling drop.
Well, when you go work for them, you can tell them how to do it.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. It just, I don't know. The movie was too dark for me to really enjoy. And yeah, you say all Resident Evil games. I'm sorry, not all Resident Evil. I was able to see things in Resident Evil games. Okay.
Oh, I turned the brightness up.
Not always. That I couldn't, like, the one thing that, like, the particular scene that I am talking about was where she had walked into that room right after the liquor and you could hear, like, the zombies growling and everything above her and she shined the flashlight up. Even with the flashlight, I couldn't see what the hell she was looking at. Just knew it was zombies because they were growling. And I knew it was behind a grate because I could see the grate. Everything else, couldn't see shit.
Great.
Great.
I like the viruses too, though I wish we would have known which one he injected himself with.
I told you it was the boba virus.
I'm done with you. I have a suspicion it was the G virus, but cannot confirm.
I did like the shelf of viruses. That was pretty cool.
I don't know why he didn't just inject himself with the antivirus.
Yeah, that was weird.
Unless it wasn't one that was the antivirus.
Couldn't really tell. It was too dark.
Well.
You're just going to use that like an old horse, aren't you?
Yeah, just like Dino Crisis.
Nope. That's always going to come back.
No, the viruses being featured in there, I like that. The little glow effects they had on some of the viruses was pretty cool.
It glows in the dark.
Probably got it from Etsy.
Something that stood out to me, I did enjoy, was the camera angles they occasionally took. Sometimes you were the zombie getting shot. And I thought that was pretty cool. That was a new approach. I'd love to see in some of the actual Resident Evil films.
I did enjoy it. I thought the whole scene with the kids was weird.
Mm.
I don't know how I feel about the kids scene.
Yeah, they kind of touch the things that normal mainstream Resident Evil won't touch. I know we've seen from the visions of a zombie before, but we've never seen one get shot.
Like, I get that they experimented on kids like Umbrella did. It was just, I don't know. Just don't know how I feel about it. That's all.
Yeah. I didn't really pay attention during that part. What are your thoughts, Daniel?
I overall liked it. For the most part. Of course, because it had Rebecca and Sheva in it.
Yeah, that's why.
I didn't like the haircut change. I mean, it worked for her, but she reminded me more of Claire when she had the longer hair and the ponytail. But I liked Rebecca, of course, and she was in her outfit she was in the beginning. Because I believe she was in the train yard in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Before she moved into the mansion. And then with the point of view, I think the only one we got was really the Lickers when it was their point of view for the most part. I mean, sometimes you got a zombie, but it was mostly like a Lickers point of view, I think.
With the red vision, yeah, it was mostly Lickers.
And even in like the Paul Anderson movies, I believe we had a Lickers point of view at one point in,
mm-hmm.
I believe the first one, maybe. Yeah. But that wasn't much. Or no, it was probably the second one too, Apocalypse.
Yeah, we always got it. It was either Nemesis or we'd get a viewpoint from a licker.
Probably thought the zombies weren't smart enough in those movies. No, I overall liked it. My only qualm was like, which again, it goes with the budgeting thing, is like when she had the flashlight, I think you could tell at one point that it was, I think the light was edited in the one scene, because there was like a circle around the end of the flashlight that I figured that's where like they track it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like there was scenes where you couldn't tell. But I thought it was pretty good. Even the liquor, I was originally iffy when I was going to watch this, because if they tried to do too much blending or CGI, I did practical effects liquor. So I thought that one was pretty good, even though you could kind of tell it was a person. Like when it at one point chased her and it kind of like jumped towards her to run, I thought that was pretty good how it was there instead of looking like a person doing it.
Yeah, Ariel was the one who pointed out the liquor first, and she had mentioned how she liked how well the makeup was done on it, and I had to agree. I liked that they zoomed in on the detail too, like the skin ripping and things. I liked it more because we've only ever seen liquors as liquors. We've never seen like an in-between transition point.
Yeah, like when they're transforming.
Yeah.
Or they haven't been a liquor that long.
Exactly. So I really liked this and what they had done with it, because I know what they were going for. They were going for the full, like the fully formed liquor like everybody uses. But I liked to think about it as one that basically, you know, had newly changed, because it still had the flesh still ripping here and there. And I really liked the visual effects they did on that. So I said the special effects here, I loved them for a low budget, you know, fan made film. The special effects all around were pretty damn good. Sometimes better than Hollywood's done. It's just, for me, it was the constant bouncing. Minimal detail was given, constant bouncing between areas. There was no transitional pieces between areas. You know, you walk from the train yard to now you're immediately into the mansion. Like, it was just super confusing to follow for me. I just did it. It was too much. It was bouncing everywhere. Get this random guy. We have no idea who he is.
He's from Outbreak.
The volumes. Yeah. The volume could have been edited up a little bit better, because you couldn't hear certain things, and certain things you could hear, it was louder than others. And this seemed like it was a very beginning piece for them between what they are now to versus what they were. I'm glad to see and hear that they've evolved significantly, but kept the root of their what they were good at, which seems to be the special effects. That. They were really good at special effects back then. And the things you're telling me about now, seems like they've evolved immensely, which I'm so glad to see that they've kept that root.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to agree.
Then I do think this, well, we already have her alternate timelines. To me, I think that the Raccoon City incident is always our focal point,
mm-hmm.
and then everything branches from there. So in this version, of course, like Paul Anderson movies, we didn't have five. Like basically after Raccoon City incident, we had a little bit of Resident Evil 2 and 3, and then it entirely went its own direction. And then the Welcome to Raccoon City, we had Raccoon City incident, but Raccoon City was changed a little bit, and it wasn't as like we're used to. This one implied the Raccoon City incident happened, but then it branched off and we still got the Alice Project, which I think would be harder to integrate in. But it also references Sheva dealing with Chris in 5. So, but she said the world had gone to shit. So it must have been a combination of the two. I mean, that's fine. I like a different look at it. And this one, I like this alternate timeline version more than Welcome to Raccoon City.
Well, it was a nice, I felt like this was a whole nice blending piece. And it, like I said, I encouraged them to redo it because I still liked the fact that it blended the storylines well, like canon to non-canon. Blended a lot better than Paul Anderson movies did.
Oh, I do. When you're done with that, I got one thing I remembered.
Oh, go for it, because I'm done.
So, Ariel brought up the umbrella ops guys coming in at the end. I think a cool thing to have, what they should have had at the end, was they should have had, like, Vector from that, from Umbrella Operation Raccoon City, or, sorry, Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, just, like, come unfazed out of invisibility and say something or whatever. And I was like, that would have been a cool tie-in, or, like, him just make an appearance just so it ties in that, another non-canon source, into this. And you already had Umbrella Ops show up.
It would have been cool.
Yeah. Him or Hunk.
Hunk.
Yeah, because Hunk would have fit in more with those guys since he seems more like a normal ops guy. I mean, I know he does a lot more, but the other ones from Operation Raccoon City are all specialized or have abilities that are beyond normal.
How did you guys feel about old Rebecca's personality in this?
I feel like it wasn't Rebecca's personality. She was more sarcastic and blunt.
Mm-hmm. Like with Billy leaving, maybe she changed in this version. Maybe yeah. Billy leaving changed how she was. Because we don't know how she was with Billy. Like if the whole thing was her typical attitude and then Billy leaving caused her to like turn on her head.
I'm sorry, but I cannot get behind that because she knew Billy for like what, a day total? You're telling me that you knowing someone a whole day is going to make your entire personality change?
I don't know.
Well, when you go through
trauma
like that to that degree, possibly.
Boom. Ariel's got my back on.
I don't know. I've been through trauma myself and my friends have left and I didn't turn into a total fucking different person.
Your name's also not Rebecca, so.
I mean, yeah, you have gone through trauma. I'm not going to downplay that. However, have you, like, gone through BOW trauma?
I don't know. Rockets getting shot at you. I mean,
rockets getting shot at you by Nemesis?
I feel like I would have dealt better with that than I would have what I did.
Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean. I don't know. I can't get behind that. Like, if it was one, if Billy and her had a relationship that went longer than 24, 48 hours, you know, we've known each other for 6 years and they, yeah, okay, I could get behind. Yeah, maybe her personality changed a little bit. Maybe she was colder. But even then, Billy didn't leave on like a shit note. At the end, they actually talked and Billy's like, I'm going to go. And she's like, I'm going to go there. So I guess I'll see you when I see you. He's like, yeah, deuces. Like, they left each other on amicable terms. It's not like she was like, well, if Billy, you, wait.
If you look at it differently, though, she was very much by the book and she was there to arrest Billy. Within that short amount of time, she even, like, her mind changed. Someone who was very by the book rules driven now was like, I didn't see you. You weren't here.
Yeah, but she didn't become a cold, heartless smartass like we saw in the movie. She wasn't a smartass.
I know. I'm just saying.
Could be a cover.
Like, if her mind was able to change within a short amount of time, it could also, like, I don't know, also change her personality once he was gone.
Could be a facade.
Yeah, but not that drastic. I mean, she was a totally different person.
Yeah, but we only saw her actually encounter two people, too.
Yeah, we saw her speak enough lines for me to go, that's not Rebecca.
Yeah, well, like, even when she did the whole thing at the end with Sheva, I feel like that was an actual possibility because, you know, like, you don't know who this person is. This has been how many years after, and, you know, your guard's up. But then after she was like, oh, we know Chris, or I know Chris. And she's like, oh, we're best friends. So then after that, she was talking to her and was fine. I can understand the, I guess, quote unquote, altercation with Sheva in the very beginning part of it. With the, I don't trust you type of thing.
That one, okay, I can get behind. But the whole interaction with Max, Matt, whatever his freaking name was, that whole interaction about her being like, oh,
If I wanted to kill you, or if I was the enemy, I would have killed you for wasting my time.
Yeah, like, that's not... No, she has not been... No, there's no fucking
way.
Billy taught her that. Yeah. She's
quoting Billy.
There's no way in hell you could ever argue that logically for that to be acceptable as a Rebecca personality in the short amount of time that she's had to change. There's no way. You could argue, oh, she's under an immense amount of stress and that she's just short to the point and bitter. Okay, well, then why didn't we see any of that in Zero? Which was even more stressful because she was actively fighting monsters that were the size of houses.
Well, even on a regular basis, too, with her little cameo appearances when you find her in the mansion.
She's an absolute sweetheart in that one, too, when you find her in the cameos.
And in the, what was it, Death Island? She's a little bit more sarcastic, but...
She was almost married.
Right.
But again,
don't blame her for that.
Natural grade of evolution of personality at that point.
Yeah, character progression. Mm-hmm. I could see it in Death Island with her with the sarcasm, but she wasn't that. She wasn't mean.
She was funny sarcastic, not bitchy sarcastic.
Yeah.
Well, remember Vendetta, she had to keep Chris and Leon from fighting with each other.
Oh, that's probably that years of having that.
That's not Vendetta.
Well, that...
You mean Death Island?
No.
Chris wasn't in Vendetta. Oh, shit. Yes. Okay. I don't know why I was thinking of the Netflix series there. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, he was in Vendetta.
Yeah.
I remember that now.
When she got kidnapped.
Yeah.
V for Vendetta.
I was thinking of Darkness.
Infinite Darkness.
Infinite Darkness. Neither one of those two are in that.
But I was referencing more her to her normal personality because she had to be the mediator between two people.
Yeah. I mean, again, in the canon, she naturally grew as a character in that direction, and that's fine. But you can't explain to me after literally an hour from dropping Billy off and moving on how she became a sarcastic, bitchy personality. Like, it doesn't... There's no way. And not to mention, that brings me to the other thing, there weren't very many spoken lines in this movie.
Well, yeah, who's she gonna say them to? The zombies?
Yeah.
Get down.
She could have even said them to herself when she found things, but she didn't. There were very minimal spoken lines, which also caused confusion on where we're at and what we're fucking doing.
I was fine.
Okay. It's... I don't know. I didn't hate it. But that's why I encourage Carcass Studios to remake it. Because I believe wholeheartedly they can make it better. Now.
Are you saying make Chambers great again?
Make Chambers great again. I want them to remake it. I want to see what they've learned and how they've grown as a studio put back into an old project. I think that would really set them apart from other studios.
Or that they could remake Welcome to Raccoon City.
Yeah, that'd be great too. So anyway, final thoughts. What do you guys got for final thoughts?
This guy's beard.
No, we're not talking about this guy's beard.
It's like longer than my hair. My hair goes down to my butt. This dude's beard is longer than my hair.
So anyway, besides Facebook. Final thoughts, anybody?
You just want to go into ratings?
Sure. If you guys are ready for ratings. Yep. All right. Let's do some ratings. Ariel, what do you got?
I'm going to have to give this a 2 out of 5. I did enjoy it. I did like it. For what it was, a fan-made film, I liked it. I'm for a story. I like good story. It did seem like it was kind of everywhere and you couldn't follow along very well with what was going on. But, I mean, yes, I did like it. And it was a little too slow-paced for me. So that's why the lower rating. But it was worth a watch, definitely.
Mm-hmm. What do you got, Daniel?
So you guys would dislike me.
Five.
No. No, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5.
Oh, boy.
We know, of course, because it has two of my favorite characters. Not Max or M, but Sheva and Rebecca. Almost rhymes. Almost. I do like that she had the normal outfit of her star's uniform. Though my qualm is with the darkness. I mean, there's points I wish I would have seen better. And then the whole, when she's talking to somebody, that volume would have been better. But overall, I liked it to show more of what she did during the Spencer Mansion in their version. Since we didn't get a lot to see of that in one, since she was just a cameo appearances. But I overall liked it. Yeah, I agree with Aaron. It could be redone. And I like that it tied in an alternate stuff to make it its own thing, but in like an alternate reality. It just was, I think Umbrella, Operation Raccoon City, I don't know, I keep calling Umbrella, Operation Raccoon City could have made an appearance at the end. I think that would have definitely maybe made me give me a 5. I could have foregone everything else if like Vector or somebody would have showed up.
So I am going to give this 2 different ratings because I feel like it deserves 2 different ratings.
Oh, hey, mine's out of Rebecca's.
Oh, God.
Oh, I didn't say mine either. M's.
I don't know, 2 out of 5 M's?
Yep.
So I'm going to give it a rating on special effects because it deserves that. So I'm going to give it I'd say a 4 out of 5 on special effects for what it deserves. It was pretty good for what it was. I'm going to give it a 1 out of 5, though, overall, because I had a lot of problems. It was too dark in a lot of areas. You couldn't really keep up what's going on. It was slow. You were here, you were there, you were everywhere, and it was slow to get there. There's minimal talking, so I had no idea what we were looking at, what we were doing. Interactions with characters was very minimal. And they're sprinkling in, I felt like, too many Resident Evil, like in your face Resident Evil Easter eggs. I liked the ones we got at the beginning. You know, I liked a few here and there, and I didn't like all of these being shoved in your face. And I know there was a storyline here. I just felt like it wasn't very fleshed out. So unfortunately, a 1 out of 5 for me. But again, as always, we encourage you listeners to go watch it for yourself and formulate your own opinions, because these are ours. These are personal opinions.
I mean, yeah, that's all ratings are, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Because my opinion, you saw how different everybody's opinion at this table was.
Yeah, I definitely recommend that you watch it because of Rebecca.
Yeah, I recommend you watch it so you can formulate your own opinion. So, on that note,
before Aaron ends the episode, I'm going to kind of go over what we're going to do. So I'm sorry in advance, but we're going to skip a week. So after this, we won't release an episode for the following week. However, we'll be back with our next thing, which is novels, books, comics. We're going into that type of genre. So we are going to start with the S.D. Perry novels with Zero Hour, actually. So we're going to start with that. And I know there are other fan-made movies out there, and, you know, maybe we'll come back and get to those ones. We chose Chambers because, well, one, Rebecca, and Daniel loves Rebecca.
Yeah, and I was like, Louie should watch this.
And it was one of the longest ones. The other ones are a little shorter. So we may come back to those. This isn't all of the fan-made movies. There's more out there. So we may come back to them eventually. But for now, we're going to go into the next little thing, and which is the like books and that type of genre. So, yep. Sorry in advance for the week break. But when we come back, we will dive right into the novels, the S.D. Perry novels.
Well, on that note, Thank you all for listening. Tune in 2 weeks.
Hi there.
Bye there.
Thanks for joining us tonight on the Resident Evil Lurecast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, tell a friend. Leave a comment and a review. If you want to keep chatting with us about all things Resident Evil, you can find us on the Robots Radio Discord. You can also chat with us at RELurecast on Twitter. Till next time, stay safe out there. And remember, we might have something that might interest you, stranger.